desire and interest in your prayers this morning and your attention. Thinking this morning about one of the key elements that is needed in our spiritual lives to maintain power. Do you have power in your spiritual life this morning? Isn't that something that we all desire, to have power in our lives? I'd like to turn this morning to the 10th chapter of Luke and the 38th verse and read. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful or anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha," maybe you could insert your own name, "Rod, Rod, thou art careful, troubled about many things." Have you ever been to a restaurant where there was just one thing on the menu? You ever been to a restaurant where they came out and handed you one of those big binders and they set it down and you flipped it open and there's just one thing on the menu? I haven't. You ever been to a library that just checks out one book? How about a clothing store? You walk into a clothing store, nice big title out front and glass display out front by the sidewalk, and you walk in and they just have one set of clothes to sell. How about a car lot that just has one type of car, nothing else, and only in one color? I think it was attributed to Henry Ford that he said that you could buy your car in whatever color you wanted it in, as long as it was black. But those days are gone. They offer cars in more than just black, but any color you want. How about living life in just one lane? It's all you have. Just one lane, one way. Here it is. No diversions anywhere, just one lane. The general answer to all of these questions is no. And we as people are immersed in menus of options, bookshelves of alternatives, right? All different avenues and routes and things that we can avail ourselves of. Options that certainly appeal to our senses, to our eyes and our ears and certainly our mouths and our touch, and often miss our heart. Often misses really the needs of our heart. And simply put, we live in a world that is filled and consumed with having and wanting and desiring and looking for alternative upon alternative. people living to satisfy themselves and expectations of others. I didn't say the needs or desires of others. I said the expectations of other people. And it can be exhausting. It can be wearying. And it can be emptying. Is that a word? Emptying. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel exhausted, wearied, and empty? And in the process of trying to satisfy and have all these options and all of these alternatives, we can miss the one thing that matters most in life, the one thing that is needful in life. We can completely miss it, and that is taking action from our heart to reach the hearts of other people. Loving God and loving others. And in the end, nothing else is really going to matter. And actually, we don't even have to wait till the end for it not to matter. Actually, it matters a whole lot more in our lives today than sometimes we think. And last Sunday, we closed with the most important truth. And that was that not only did Jesus come to bring peace and goodwill to you, but the Lord came to bring us peace, and He came to bring us goodwill. He willed good for us in our lives. But He also did it in such a way where the design and the intent of it was that we would then in turn contribute to the peace of other people. That we also would will good for other people in their lives. The Lord did not intend for us to be takers only, but that we would be givers. The Lord intends for us to be conduits of His love, conduits of His mercy, conduits of His will for good. What's a conduit? A conduit is a means for something to get from one point to another. It travels through it. And He wants our lives, He wants your life to be something that He can work in and through, not only to bless you, but to bless the lives of other people. Yes, for you to receive, but then to get up and go with it to the world, to those that are around you. And if you miss this part, we talked about this last Sunday for just a little bit. If you miss this part of it, you risk missing it all. You miss losing it all if you miss this part. Our victory will be short-lived. The blessing, the land that the Lord would have us to possess in life, you individually, you will not possess the land that the Lord has designed for you to possess if you miss the part about you being a conduit through which the peace and goodwill of God flows through your life to somebody else. It's not intended to be just about you. It's intended to be about you reaching other people and being a representative of Jesus Christ, a light to the world. That people can look upon your life and see Jesus and receive through you the goodness of God. And if we miss it, and it all becomes about me, myself, and I, we will find ourselves eventually in a place where we're wondering, what's wrong? I'm doing all these things. I've got this list of things, good things that I should do. I'm going to the right places. I'm coming to church on Sundays and Wednesday, and I give of the means that God has given me, and I'm trying to stay away from the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and I'm doing all these things, but I don't have the power in my life. I feel there's something missing, and I don't know what it is because I'm doing all these things. And often what we're missing is that the Lord wants it to be more about you, more than just about you. The Lord wants you to take what has been given to you and let it flow. Flowing goodwill. Does it make sense? If you're struggling spiritually, examine how well and to what extent the goodwill of God is flowing through you to other people. This is where power comes from. Power comes from peace and goodwill of the Lord flowing, moving, not stagnant. You remember some time back we preached a message and read that verse that said, on the last day, that great day, Jesus stood. He wanted to get the attention of all. He stood up. He didn't just say it quietly from his seat. But it said that he stood and he cried out. And he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall stagnate a trickle of dead water. Are you awake? Is that what it said? Not what it said. It said out of his belly, out of the innermost part of your life, it didn't say shall stagnate, it said shall flow. Rivers of living water flow out of who you are, your innermost being. That the Lord, if you take a drink of what He has and you begin to give yourself to the Lord, that if you do it in the way that is designed by God, that it's something that will come in and it will flow out and reach other people. For good. For your good and for their good. And it results in power in your life. And if it doesn't flow through your life, you will find that you are living a life, spiritual life, without power. And oftentimes this is why, because we live unto ourselves, even spiritually. We're so consumed with ourselves. We can become so consumed and in bondage and depressed and discouraged focused on all of the parts of our lives that the Lord's still working on. And we let the enemy tell us, well, maybe you're not saved, and maybe you're not where you should be, and God probably doesn't love you. And we get so down under all those things of our life that the Lord is saying, commit them to me. Trust me with your inadequacies. Trust me with the places in your life, and let me work with you. And while I'm working with you, have the joy of the Lord in your life, that I have forgiven you of your sins, that I want to do something good for you, that I will perfect you, and that you can be a conduit of good to other people in the process. But instead, if the enemy has his way, what he does is he gets us so turned inward, even spiritually, that we shut the valve off of the flowing goodwill to other people, and it takes away our spiritual power. And if you'll let me, if you'll be patient with me for just a couple minutes, I'd like to illustrate this point. I am struck with how the Lord in nature and in physics and chemistry and biology proclaims himself in so many ways. Have you ever seen a hydroelectric power plant? Have you ever been in one? Have you ever seen a dam? Anybody ever been to the Hoover Dam? Maybe you've been to some other dams. Where they build it so that it collects and develops a large depth of water. Think spiritually with me. Large depth of water. And they block off so that they can create this. And one of the reasons for a dam, primary reasons for a dam, is to generate power. And I want to show you a simplified flow diagram of a hydroelectric power plant. Think spiritually with me, if you will. This is the dam, and this is the water, and it has a height of water. And the way that these plants work is they get this level of water where, and there's a lot of potential energy that is in here because of the head that's created. Down here is a high pressure. And you come out with a pipe, and there's a valve somewhere along the line. And what it does is this water goes into a casing that has an impeller in it. It's a turbine. It has blades on it. And the water comes into this housing, flowing this way, and it comes out of the housing and goes on downriver to be a blessing to other points downstream. And there's a valve here too. And when this valve is open and this valve is open, water flows through and it spins this turbine because it hits those fan blades and it makes it rotate. And there's a shaft that comes up. And there's another housing up here. And affixed to the shaft are magnets. And the magnets rotate with the shaft that are rotating because there's water flowing through here. Everybody with me so far? And stationary inside here are coils of copper wire normally. And would you know it that God created it so that you can make electricity by flowing water and turning a shaft and putting magnets on it, and when you rotate magnets in the middle of copper wire, it makes electricity. And the electricity comes out and it goes into a transformer, and that power goes out to people, and it also can come back and power the power plant. Does this make sense? It's simple. God created it that way. Water comes in, and because the water flows through, it makes that turbine spin, and it turns this shaft that has magnets attached to it, and there's copper wire on the stationary, and the magnets spin inside, and it creates electricity. And the electricity goes out and is a blessing to many people. This is me and you. And this deep water of life is the water that Jesus has to offer us. Deep waters. But there is something really key for this to create power. this valve has to be open. I can have the most wonderful looking power plant. People walk by and say, wow, that's really put together. The design is perfect. It's painted just right. It's in the right location. It's where it's supposed to be. It's designed just right. Following all the right rules. Met all the right regulations. That looks really good. But there won't be any power that comes out of that plant. If this valve is not open to allow the Spirit of Jesus Christ to flow into our lives. And what we do so often is we let all these other things flow into our life. We are cumbered, we are careful, we're troubled, and we let all these influences come into our lives and clog us up and keep us from receiving the water of life. If you want power in your life, you have to be deliberate about opening up your heart and asking the Lord to come in that you might have living water come into your life. But there's something else. If this valve is closed, where the water from this dam is not able to flow through and out, and it stagnates, and you close it off, and you say, Lord, please come fill my life. Lord, I need you. I want you. I'm going to open this valve up. Please, I need help. If there's never any flow, your power is going to be limited. And I'm not saying this morning that there is no one that is in heaven that didn't reach other people by Jesus Christ. A power plant, electric power plant, hydroelectric power plant is not... Jesus did not say this is an example of who I am. This is an example that I've been blessed with. And it's not perfect. And yes, the Lord can fill us and bless us and we can die the next day and make it to heaven and we really never did anything for anybody. I am not limiting God by this, but I am saying this, that if God spares time and we live any length of time, your spiritual power is going to be greatly limited if this valve is closed and you don't allow the water of Jesus Christ to flow through your lives and out to other people. The power that is available from your life to bless other people is going to be very limited if you close this valve. And we can be so consumed, and we should be, and it's right for us as Christians here in the congregation to make sure that this valve is open. And that, Lord, here I am, fill me. But if you'll allow me with this analogy, if that's as far as it goes and we haven't focused on making sure that the Lord is able to use you as a conduit and a blessing to other people where the water of life can flow through you and reach other people, this is not going to spin like it's supposed to spin and create power for your life and for the lives of others. Does it make sense? This is key to us keeping peace. You want sustainable peace? You want victory in your life that continues? Let Jesus flow through your life to other people. Now to bring it maybe closer to home for the moment we're in, it's Christmas season. The New Year is around the corner. It's a special time that is set aside once a year, collectively, that we recognize as a time to celebrate the birth of Jesus and the great gift that He brought to us that saves us from so much, saves us individually from so much. a gift that invites us to give our lives to God and to love other people. And yet, what is so easy for us to get drawn into at this time of the year? Self-induced and people-induced stress and anxiety. Right? Cumbered. Careful. In other words, anxious. And troubled about many things, while the opportunity of this season, of this time of the year, comes and it goes. And all the while, there are those all around us that have great need, that are hurting, that are in trouble, that are longing to be reached by something that gives life. And the Lord would have liked for His life-giving water to have been able to flow through your life, to be able to give some power to some other people. But we can become so consumed with all of the things associated with this time, and we let it in and we clog up our lives and miss the one thing that's needful. And the time comes and the time goes, and there are many souls that could have been blessed that were not blessed because we, as Christians, allowed ourselves to become consumed and cumbered and troubled about many things. So I'd like to issue this morning a thought challenge for consideration. What if? What if we all would intentionally take a step back and take time to be disciplined about not being too cumbered, not being too anxious, not being too troubled to the point that this valve gets closed. And we're deliberate about it and say, I'm going to intentionally take some time to really open my heart, to thank God for His goodness to me, for the special gift that made such a difference in my life, not just with some quick words where it's just with my lips, but if I can withdraw in a place in whatever closet the closet may look like in your life, and open your heart and thank the Lord for His gift of Jesus Christ and for the water of life that He made available for you. And then show your gratitude. By consciously going over and opening this valve. And looking for one or two souls that may otherwise be neglected and go unnoticed by you or other people. You know what I'm saying? To step back and say, I am going to go out and open this valve, and I'm going to look for one or two opportunities at this time of the year to be a conduit that the blessing of the Lord might flow through my life to somebody else in the midst of everything that we're careful and troubled about. It
could make a difference in somebody's life. And yes, as we approach the new year and think about our lives and how we conduct our lives and what's important to us and where our priorities are, that we would endeavor to establish ways of living, practices of life that better incorporate serving the needs of other people. That one thing is needful. Martha got carried away with so many of the things that seemed so important, so time sensitive. She missed the one thing that was needful. This is one of those things that is needful. In fact, it's what really matters. Loving God, opening ourselves up to be filled with God, and loving our neighbors ourselves. That's what matters most. Of anything else, don't allow the many things to get in the way of the one thing that matters. It's not so much all the pretty colors and things that taste good and gifts that we gift ourselves with. Not that any of those things are wrong or sin. Don't misunderstand me. But it's loving God and it's loving each other. That was the Great Commission, to go into all the world and take the gospel and share it. Let's be deliberate this morning, if we will, to have our eyes open, to look for those opportunities that may be passing by that won't be there tomorrow, and ask the Lord to help inspire us to know when He whispers and says, "Rod, there it is right there. That's your opportunity." Because after all, with all the options and with all the alternatives, this, brother and sister, this is the one thing that's needful. This is what matters. Allowing the goodwill of God to flow through your lives to other people. That is key to you and other people having power, peace, and victory in life. Pray for me, because I don't want to be cumbered and careful and troubled about so many things that I miss the most important thing: loving God and allowing that love of God to flow to others through my life. Amen.